Welcome to Cover Conversations, a podcast created by the local Gov Health and Wellness team for both those who use our health insurance benefits and the employers who offer them. Each month, we'll have a conversation with relevant information related to the health insurance we provide. So sit back and enjoy this episode of Covered Conversations. On today's episode, we're talking to the one and only David Hillier. He's the Chief Executive Officer of the Local Government Health Insurance Board.
Wow, what an introduction.
Welcome, David.
It's good to be here, Michelle.
I'm so glad that we get to have a conversation today to talk about us and to talk about our organization, our program. We also have Jessica Barefoot with us, our marketing specialist, to talk to us today about, her interests, her likes, and, you know, since she's come on board with the Local Government Health Insurance Board, but really just to get kind of personal about us and our program and things like that. So that way people know a little bit more about what we have going on behind the scenes.
I'm excited to be here today, and thank you so much for extending the invitation to me.
Yeah. Well, before we get started in kind of talking about our program and all the things that we do, what do you guys like to do? Are you from here? Are both of you from here? David, are you?
I was born and raised in Montgomery, Alabama. In fact, I have been here. I'm 47 years old. I don't mind sharing that. And I have lived in Montgomery all but 3 months of my life. I went off to college in Nashville as a freshman. And I was up there for about 3 or 4 months. And after that first semester, I came back home and I've been here ever since. So I love the Montgomery area in this part of the state.
That's awesome. What about you, Jessica? Where did you hail from?
Yeah, I was also born and raised in Montgomery. Lived here most of my life. And now my husband and my 2.5-year-old, we all live in Prattville, Alabama. So Montgomery is very near and dear to my heart as well.
That's awesome. I'm not from here. I'm the outsider. I'm originally from Gainesville, Florida, but I've lived here so long that I've adapted the dialect. So it's a big joke in my family that I'm the only one. Well, I've been here for nearly 30 years. So, but I'm the only one that has an actual little bit of a twang, especially when I'm around people. But when I'm around my family, it kind of, I might thicken it up just a little, just to aggravate them. David, when did you get started in this? Because when you went to college, you went to Faulkner.
I did.
Your family's really big. You guys are, a lot of you are alumni from Faulkner.
We are.
So what did you want to do?
I really didn't know what I wanted to do when I was in college. I started out as a business major. At some point, I thought about going into vet school. Talked to my dad about that, looked into Auburn and Tuskegee, and then I decided I wanted to look at law school. Faulkner had a law school on campus, Jones School of Law, and so I decided that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a lawyer, and they also, the format of that at the time was, it was more of a night school. So when I started law school, I was married and actually had a child. And so it allowed me to work full time during the day and then go to law school at night. So it turned out to be something that I really enjoyed. And for the first 11 years, I was in private practice as a lawyer here in Montgomery, Alabama. We represented construction clients, manufacturing clients, insurance, defense work. And that was really beneficial, and it was something that I really enjoyed. But then I got an opportunity to start with the State Employees Insurance Board in 2013. And William Ashmore, the CEO of the SEIB, hired me as an assistant general counsel. And then from there, I became their general counsel. And then a couple years after that, at the time, the local government health insurance plan was administered by the State Employees Insurance Board. So he moved me over to the local side. And I've worked as a general counsel and as the chief operating officer. And then on January 1st of 2022, the board appointed me as the CEO. So I really enjoyed my time as a lawyer. It was very beneficial to me and my family, and it was something that I really enjoyed doing. But being involved in this type of work has just been so fulfilling. Being able to give back to cities and counties in Alabama that are the backbone of our state has been something that's been really enjoyable. So I love what I do. I love the people I'm working with, and I'm just very blessed.
I have to agree with that. I did not go to law school. However, the path that my career has taken that led me here. I started working for Local in 2016, and I had already had our insurance. I worked for what we call consider a quasi-governmental entity, and so I've had our insurance since 2010. But I have felt such a fulfilling purpose since I've been here, and it's really a lot of that. I came from a credit union, and credit unions represent people helping people. And I feel that more so here, what we do and how we're helping people. And I go out and I speak with a lot of, you know, the employees of these municipalities, of the very small towns in the counties, in very rural areas of the state. And that gives me a lot more. I feel as though I'm here for a purpose, more so than just showing up to a 9 to 5, or 7:30 to 4:30. Mm-hmm. But I do feel that very deeply. I feel like I belong here, and that what we're doing is important work, providing this benefit for others. So, Jessica, you came on board in September of 2023. Can you want to talk a little bit about your background and what you've done before, and you know, since you've come on board? You kind of hit the ground running when you started.
Yeah, I came on a month before conferences, so it was definitely baptism by fire. So I attended Auburn University, Montgomery, and I majored in marketing. And I was probably one of the few people who never changed my major, because I knew that there were a lot of things I did not want to do. Didn't have the stomach to be a nurse, the patience to be a teacher, the mathematics skills to do any of the sciences. So I just kind of found marketing and stuck with it. And I'm really glad I did, just because it allows me to be very creative, but still be in a business environment. You know, I get to come to my office and get to work, but also get to go and meet a lot of people, which is really nice. So I started my career at Jackson Hospital here in Montgomery, Alabama. And while that was very fulfilling, and of course, they taught me a lot about marketing and communications there, I wanted to get away from the hospital space, and joining Local Government Health Insurance Board kind of helped me be able to still help people in the health and wellness space, but just from a different angle. So I'm really glad to be here and to have been able to join this team. I feel like it's much more team-oriented, family-oriented. People really welcomed me here with open arms. So I was really excited to be here.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. And I think that that kind of exudes from inside out, as far as, you know, what we believe in our you know, mission and vision and things like that, and how we try to push that out when we're out and about in the community as well. So that's awesome. Well, so I am Michelle Walden. I'm the communications director for the Health Insurance Board. Jessica Barefoot, she's our marketing specialist. And today we do have David Hillier. He's our chief executive officer of the board. David and I have been working together since I came on in 2016. There was still a lot of sister agency. There's a lot of correlation between, or collaboration rather, between the SEIB and our board. And David and I work very closely together on projects, or we used to before you got your promotion as our chief.
Well, I appreciate you still allow me to have a little bit of input in your vision about where we're going with our marketing and our communications. And that's something that's really near and dear to my heart. You know, I really want to make sure that people understand our benefits, because I think we have wonderful, rich benefits. And I know y'all's purpose is to make sure our members and our units understand those benefits so they can use those. And y'all do a fantastic job. Like Michelle, like you said, I've been able to work with you since 2016, and I've been very impressed with, number one, how hard you work, and number two, your creativity and how that you know, accomplish that goal and mission. And Jessica, I've seen you for the last few months, and you're going to be a great addition to our staff. So I appreciate y'all giving me the opportunity to kind of help out in any way that I can with y'all's goals and mission in regard to that field.
Having a baby is one of life's biggest moments and greatest joys, but it's a life-changing event that can also be stressful. That's why Baby Yourself from Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Alabama wants to help put you at ease so you can relax and enjoy your pregnancy. Baby Yourself is a voluntary prenatal wellness program that's helped bring thousands of healthy, happy babies into the world. This program is part of your maternity benefits, and there's no additional cost to participate. To find out more, go to alabamablue.com or ask your benefits representative.
What I think is really cool is that there are so many different spaces and there are so many different ways to get your message across. And it's something that Jessica and I, especially before we came here, targeting specific people for certain services, but even more so now, there are so many more spaces and mediums of communication. And so to try to target more people and try to get our information out to more people, even if it's relevant or not, or if the person has our coverage or not, they could still probably find some information. So we decided to try this avenue of launching a podcast. Seems like everybody has a podcast these days, all types of different genres. I like them. I like a different genre than you personally to listen to on my ride home. But it's also an excellent way to learn. And, you know, you take 10, 30 minutes or even a couple hours. My husband listens to podcasts that are 3 hours long. I have no desire for that. But he also loves history. So to have this, to try this, and you're so open to that when we, you know, when the suggestion was made of, what do you think about having a podcast or if we could try this? And you're just completely 100% on board. And I appreciate that so much because this is such an exciting new endeavor that we're doing.
There's just so many more modes of communication now than there was even when we started together back in 2016. And a lot of the modes of communication are much more cost effective than the old, you know, print and mail. And you know, with the old print and mail, most of us get so much information in our mailboxes, we just throw it away. We don't even look at it. And, you know, with this avenue, you're getting some information out to people quicker, you know, more directly, more personally. And so I'm excited to see how you and Jessica use this podcast and other things that y'all have planned to really make communication more effective to our members and units.
Yeah, it really goes hand in hand with we adapted whatever you want to call it. We created a mission and vision statement a few years ago, and it really goes hand in hand with going along with that. Do you want to touch on that for a little bit?
Yeah, you're exactly right. So we've had a mission statement for several years, but back in 2020, during the height of COVID, we went and kind of sharpened it a little bit and really looked into it and drilled down a little bit more to and question ourselves on what are we here for? Who are we here for? And that kind of thing. And you know, our mission statement is on the website, but some of the things that we talk about in our mission statement is being best in class, being affordable, and then one of them is effectively communicating our benefits to our members and our units. So, I mean, this is, it's just not something that we're giving lip service to. It's something that we are committed to, and it's memorialized in our mission statement. And therefore, you know, we are really trying to, you know, bring different channels to communicate with our members.
But even our mission statement kind of touches on all facets of our program because it talks about our benefits. It talks about communication. It talks about really it touches enrollments and how we can better serve our member units and our members, the employees of these organizations. So everybody here is impacted by this mission statement and it is up to us to carry this out to our member units and the employees. So it's while it's quite wordy, it is a little, please don't ask me to memorize it. However, it truly represents us as a whole. And I think it was really well done and formulated.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm glad you mentioned service because that's something that's really something I want to focus in on as well. I started what I call a white glove customer service approach to our members, not just our members and our units, but really how we interact with each other here at the board. And it's something that has really carried out and carried over into how we communicate and how we handle our units and our members. We are really focused on white glove customer service. We're committed to it. In fact, every month at our staff meeting, we give what we call a white glove customer service award to somebody on our team who has exhibited great service to either another team member within our organization or a member or a unit. So we're really trying to focus and recognize people who do go above and beyond what's expected. And by doing that, I think what's not expected is becoming expected and delivered. People are just buying into that. And we're getting a lot of great feedback from our members and our units about how customer service has improved. And that's really what we're after. We're wanting to provide great benefits that are affordable, predictable, something you can count on. But also, we want their interaction with us to be something that they enjoy, that they're proud of, and that we can be proud of as well.
It really starts from the inside out, and it's kind of like how health and wellness works as well. So everything can look great on the outside, but it's really the inside that we have to worry about and look at. So to implement this has been fantastic. And we have an awesome team here. We're small, but we're mighty. I think when I started, I was the fourth or fifth employee. The other person, she started the same day, so she did walk in before me. So I'll take, I was number five. And now we're up to how many? We have about
33.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have quite a few. We've grown significantly. But it does start from the inside out. And to have that, and you're right, we do have quite a few. A lot of the feedback is, especially after we go to conferences and people pull us aside directly and talk about that customer service that they receive, the good member service that they receive. But everybody has individual needs, and every unit has an individual need. And while we know our rules and we know our health plan and we understand these things, not everybody does, because this is not what they do on a regular basis. So whatever we can do to make things easier for them is just an end goal for everybody. And to do that with a smile on our face.
And that's a great point, because, I mean, we work in this space every day, and we're learning something new every day. And we've been in this space for 10 years. People who aren't in this space every day, there's a big learning curve for them to have. You know, just understanding what the terminology in our plan books means, what our benefits are, and how did they use those benefits? So, you know, that's really something that we're trying to figure out different ways that we can make that learning curve a little bit easier. Or if they do have questions and they contact either your department or Jessica in the wellness department, that we give them that great customer service and help them out and hold their hand to help them figure out that question.
Insurance can be daunting. I come from the financial industry. I spent a lot of my career in banking and credit unions, and that was daunting enough. People's money is kind of, you know, that's kind of an important space. But health insurance, it gets complicated. And so whatever we can do to ease that complication and to make it easier to understand, and for people to actually understand that they do have benefits available for whatever their need is in life. Like, that's, to me, that is such an important focus that we have. So,
and as we're talking about that, I'd like to know a little bit more about what you and Jessica are looking at maybe in the next year.
So there are some things that I really want to do, and you're really on board with, you know, like I said, you're such a proponent for us in getting the information out to our members and units. So Jessica, I'm so thankful that Jessica's on board. I'm so glad that I was able to finally get her. And because we have a huge year of growth and how we want to grow this, our department, and how we get the messaging out. So first off is this podcast, Locals Only. And then we want to have typically what we do is we have conferences every October, and those conferences are for benefit administrators of the plan, and that's wonderful. We are going to continue doing that. That is something that we truly enjoy. But we also don't want to wait until October to talk to benefit administrators about what's going on, especially new benefit administrators or people who might be new to the health insurance or just may not have a good grasp. So we have some plans of implementing some trainings where either we come to them or they come to us. But also we want to have more, you know, we'll have more email communications, more targeted marketing as far as to units and to members about our programs. We have quite a bit. We're partnering, I wouldn't say partnering, but we're going to be working more closely with our vendors on getting information out about our program. So not just to units to understand how to implement the benefits, but also to the members as well, so they know how to utilize their benefits. So we have a lot. This year is already, it's very jam-packed already.
So every year when we have our August board meeting, our team comes up with some what we call top goals for the next year. And that's something that we're really focused on as a board for that following year. And so when the board met in August of this year, we had some top goals. And those top goals were to innovate, and here comes the rhyming cheesiness part, to communicate, educate, and motivate. And really, you know, innovation is at the core of what we do because we provide a great set of benefits, but things are ever changing and there's great programs out there. There's great new ways to do things. And so we're constantly looking at different things that we can provide and bring to our members that will impact their overall well-being. So really that's kind of at the forefront of what we're doing, you know, on a daily basis. Also, communication is a huge part, and that goes for communication with members and with units. So we're really focused on that for 2024 and all the different ways that we can communicate with our members and our units to make our benefits more easy to understand and more available for them to use. And then naturally, when you communicate your benefits to somebody, you're educating them. And the more educated somebody can be about what is available, what they have in their toolkit, then the better that person is going to be. And then, hopefully, after you communicate, after you educate, then you're going to motivate that person to use those benefits. And that's what we're here for. We are not here to provide a bunch of benefits and hope that they're never used. We offer these benefits for them to be used because we know, number one, that is going to help that member. That's going to make that member healthier, which will, you know, of course, give them benefits for their life. And then from a plan standpoint, if people are using your benefits, then in the long run, as a plan, you're going to be better off because people are keeping in tune with what's going on with their body. And so it's just a win-win situation.
Going on with that, with the benefits and being more in tune with what's going on with your body, we are one of the first plans in the entire country to implement the wellness screening program. I don't remember what year it was done, but I know that William Ashmore, the CEO of the State Employees Insurance Board, he's the one who implemented this. He and Jim Bradford implemented this program and went on national news. I mean, it was a very that was a very huge thing. And now most places do it, whether they have our insurance or other insurance. Most places do it because it's such a great way to take a peek inside of what those silent factors might be. And then moving from there into other benefits, which, of course, that wellness screening, a lot of people don't even know this, but it's not just the employee who can get screened. It's the spouse who can get screened as well, as long as they're covered. But that way, I mean, sometimes it might be difficult for me to get my husband to go to the doctor. So and some people might treat this as their annual physical or annual wellness check with their physician. But it's one of those things where from there, they might be put on notice if their A1C is high or anything like that, of other programs that are available to them through our health insurance. So Virta, for people who have type 2 diabetes, a program that we implemented in 2021, I believe, and have seen fantastic results of people reversing their type 2 diabetes diagnosis. That's not a forever, you know, diagnosis. And I didn't know that until we implemented this program. But utilizing that program helps. If people do that, then it does help our plan, and overall it helps them, which is a huge win because they're hopefully able to get off their medications and, you know, lose weight or whatever the case is, get on a healthier path. But then overall that helps our plan too. And I mean, just all the other programs that we have available as well, that we can educate more people about so they can take advantage of.
Yeah. The wellness program is a great benefit. And I look at it, it is a benefit. It is something that allows, like you said, that person to kind of keep a check on what's going on within their body. And I'm a perfect example, I think, of the benefit of a wellness program, because I'd been getting screened since I began with the State Employees Insurance Board in 2013. So I've been screened for 11 years, and my cholesterol was pretty good until about 2018. And when I did my wellness check in 2018, it just, my cholesterol shot through the roof. It was like 260. And I had no idea. You know, I don't know at that time if I was going to my provider every year like I should have, but I was now made aware that I needed to keep a check on my cholesterol. And so I went to my physician. We worked out a plan and, you know, something I'm comfortable with. But otherwise, I would not have known that my cholesterol was really high. So that's just one of the benefits of the wellness plan. And we have great participation. We have about 88% of our active employees who are screened on a yearly basis. You know, so it's wonderful participation, and there's countless stories that we could talk about similar to mine and much greater than mine, that some people that have had some severe, you know, conditions that they did not know about, you know, lives have been saved because of that.
Absolutely. I think that when I first started, I was told that the statistic was, it was a very high number. I can't remember exactly, but of the people who are deemed to be at risk at during their wellness screening, a year later had significant improvement. I had no idea. Like you, I've noticed as I've gotten older, my body is changing, and my cholesterol had an uptick. And so a few years ago, it was also elevated. I think it was like 2020, 2021. So I may have been during 2020 eating a lot of junk food because I was at home a lot more with my children. And then I noticed that at here, I had no idea that my cholesterol had gone up. And this past year, I actually got my first referral. I try to stay, I try to eat pretty fairly well. I do have two kids, so I might eat, you know, off their plates every once in a while. But, and I try to stay very active, but it seems as though it wasn't enough. And I received my first referral to go see my primary care physician. I saw her, and we also have, we're just keeping it in check right now. But it's good to take that because I was deemed at risk. And so I received that free referral. And then to go see my primary care physician, I didn't have to pay a copay. And now we're getting a plan in action. And so I think that's very important for people to understand. It's for their own benefit, their own personal health benefit, to go and have that checked out.
Due to its length, we've decided to split this podcast into two parts. Stay tuned for the continuation.